there's this one thing that I feel, this is like 2020, anyone out there shouldn't feel like that because you're a different culture.
Yes.
Because literally everyone are already like mushed up into like one society. Embrace it, like you just global citizen, like, you know. Yeah. You should think like you are just a global citizen.
Today's guest is very special. She's the first ever person whom I invited in a face-to-face interview here in my humble abode. I've known her for a little over a year now because we work together, one table apart exactly. And I figured it'll be interesting to sit down and chat with her in a different setting than at work, talk about her zesty experiences living here in Australia. My guest for today is someone who is a little bit the same, but at the same time, different from me. So it'll provide a lot of flavor in today's episode. So I will be asking Steph some of her colorful experiences here in Australia. Hi, Steph. Thanks for coming out here.
Well, thanks for having me. Pleasure. Hopefully it's useful for anyone who listened to this.
Yes, it will be, Steph. So I know you've studied here some time ago in Australia. Was it university or high school?
So I moved here like 2008 after high school. So I study. I came to Australia for my university degree.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I'm still here, stuck here. And
stuck here in the land down under.
It's not a bad place to be stuck in. At this, you know.
Yeah, this day and age. But why did you decide to study here in Australia? Like,
well, there's a drama behind it.
Oh.
So I was almost, I actually already enrolled in medical school in Indonesia. So my mom is a doctor. So when I was growing up, I always, you know, you see your mom, you know, doing a good thing, taking care of like sick people. Then when you were a kid, you just always when you grown up, you always want to become a doctor. Then which is I study hard, and then, you know, I enrolled into one of the medical school in Jakarta. But then when you're adult, you start thinking, and then you start like, is it really what you want? And then I get cold feet, so I end up cancel. I don't think it's for me. And then at that point, I don't really know what I want to do. Like, it's pretty much, it was my dream to become a doctor. But a doctor in Indonesia, it's not. It's the hard work that you put into a doctor. I don't think it's appreciated. Like, it's, you know, it's very sad. It's not really well paid unless you are
famous,
yeah, you know, famous or very specialist, which is like you need another 20 years of specialty to become. Yeah, I don't think I'm that dedicated. And then I'm the youngest daughter of three.
Okay.
So I just don't want to like burden my parents, which means I have to like study longer, and then I might be a successful doctor, I might not. That is just too.
And how did your mom take it, Steph?
My mom actually worried. Like, she was like really shocked. Obviously, everyone knows I always want to become a doctor.
Oh yeah.
So my mom already like checked me into a psychologist. Just checking like if there is, you know, something wrong with me or anything. But it just like if doctor profession in Indonesia is better, I'm probably still doing it.
Ah, okay.
But it's not well paid, and then you have to, like, it's so much
effort,
work.
The effort and the benefits, like cost and benefits.
Like, you know, probably it's the same like in the Philippines. Like, yes. How much, even though you're a doctor, how much, when you graduate, how much you get paid.
Yeah.
And compare, well, like in Australia, when you graduate as a doctor, yes, you probably, you have a head start in your earning.
Yeah.
But in Indonesia, you don't have any head start.
Yeah, totally. I totally get that.
And then you work 12 hours a day, And then, you know, for the next 10 years, then you probably settle.
Mm.
So, yeah. Just like, and then it's just more like and at that point, I kind of like realize, and then you just do the math, and then it doesn't add up. It doesn't, you know, it's not worth it.
And then when you do the math, oh, I will do finance. Like, is it like right away you, okay, mom, tomorrow after the psychologist, appointment, I go to Australia.
No, I have my uncle here in Australia. So, and then at that point, like, I don't really know what profession that I want to do. And then so my mom just like, just do business. Like, you know, business, you can be anyone. Mm. You can be, you know, you can go to any anywhere. Industry. Mm. And then, or you can decide later. So yeah. That's kind of like that. That's what my mom said. And then my dad is pretty liberal, so he, as long I decided and responsible to what what my decision, my dad
was
very
good.
Supportive.
Yeah,
but yeah, my mom is just like, just checking everything I'm in the right mind in making a decision. So, and yeah, I didn't regret it at all. It's the best thing that I'm made in my life, but it's bring where I am today.
Yeah. And when you came in uni, so did you had some culture shocks, or you already have some friends or Indonesian friends already here that you know of?
No, I don't have not much culture shock. Probably I'm quite independent since I was young. So, my mom sent me to Australia when I was like 14, just for a homestay for two weeks.
Really? Oh.
So. You know, I've been here.
I know, that's why you're so colorful life stuff.
So it's kind of like, oh, my mom already like prepare us to be abroad by ourselves. And I think all of us, like me and my sister, we went to, they sent us to Australia for 2 weeks.
Oh, that's good.
You know, there's a program, homestay program, which is like, we went to Australia by ourselves with a group of friends, but you know, away from the parents, just English course and traveling, but it's so we know how to travel without parents.
So
I know what I signed up for.
It's
not like, it's not culture shock, but, and then I told you before, I have my uncle here as well. So obviously it probably helped my parents keep them peace in mind that someone can look after me. And if something urgent happened, or, you know, someone can still watch me. And then a lot of my high school friends study in Australia.
Oh.
But most of them, they study in Melbourne. So okay. I only have like one good friend of mine. Well, now she's become a good friend of mine because we live in Brisbane. And then, like, yeah, from my high school, only this one girl that in this city.
You have to just, okay, oh, like...
Yeah, that's it. She's, like, she's probably, like, my first friend in Australia. And then, yeah, she's one of my best friends.
Ah, that's great. And so you chose Brisbane because your uncle is here as well. Is that it, or it's just because you like the weather, or it's just because you have
because I'm avoiding other Indonesian. No, because like there's like so many Indonesian in Melbourne and Sydney. It's not avoiding them. I still have lot of Indonesian friend in here in Brisbane, but it's just like, okay, you study in Australia, you don't want to hang around, you know, the same people. I want, otherwise you don't learn anything
exactly
new. If you have a different friend from different nationality, different background, then you learn new things every day.
It's good that you had this mindset already, Steph, when you were in college or university. Me, like, I was just nothing, like just watching anime, but anything. So when you started uni, and any memorable experience you could share to us with your journey in university?
When I was in uni, I think the most memorable experience is just like meeting a lot of different people from different country, like not only Australian, but Japanese, Korean, you know, in my class. There's like a lot of, there's like Filipinos, more like you know, people even outside Australia.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And with that, did you had to your application for university? So you had to take the like IELTS before coming here.
Yeah.
Is it?
Okay. So we have to do IELTS tests, and then so I think it was pretty easy. Like as long as you can speak English, and then you have the minimum requirement was like 6 back then. I don't know.
Okay. Now it's they said it's like 7 or something, and they said it's quite hard to get it.
Yeah.
So. And then
it's getting harder. Like it's getting harder. So back then it was like it was still quite easy.
Yeah, it was 2008, right?
Yeah.
So you met different kinds of nationalities, and did you meet your boyfriend there? Now the current boyfriend or?
No. I don't have boyfriend until I get my permanent residence.
Oh, is that your own rule?
It's just my own rule. It's not
your own rule. I thought like Australian
it's
rule.
It's not like I don't want to, but like I wasn't looking and I wasn't.
You're not interested at that time.
Not interested. Like not intensively looking as well. You just focus on one thing.
Yeah.
When I made a decision to Australia, my dad only tell me one thing. You know what? Fine, I'll send you to Australia, but it's only one way ticket. That's what he said to me. So back then, my goal was like, okay, I have to make it in Australia. I have to stay in Australia, finish school, and find a job. That was my focus. So I just don't want to like, oh, what if fall in love with a guy, but you can't stay in Australia. Then you have to separate. You know, you already like have relationship, but then you can't stay in Australia because whatever, you know, you don't get the visa or permanent residence or you don't have a job, then you end up have to go back. I don't like that kind of drama. Like when I do something, I like, okay, you know, it's gonna work. I don't like to gamble. Like,
yeah. Okay.
You are when you're in university, you don't have. You know, you don't have job, you don't know what to do. Back then when I was uni, my friend, like a lot of my friend was just struggling just to stay in Australia.
Oh.
They just doing like student visa, and then they're just renewing student visa and their life about just trying to stay in Australia.
Did you do some part-time jobs when you were at uni?
Yeah, I do. I just did just low-class job, like working...
Barista? Had you tried being a barista or...?
No, I didn't get a barista, but I work in a porter, like fast food shop, McDonald's.
Oh, okay.
Just like easy job, you know, in uni, no commitment, just get some pocket money. But it was like... So it's a low-class job, but that...
It kept you afloat.
Yeah, it kept me afloat. But and then I learned a lot too. Like it was funny. That shop, that was in Myer Center.
Oh, okay.
And then everyone in Oporto back then, everyone who worked in Oporto, they all like educated people. They all PhD. They all like studying master. They all immigrants that they don't work there as a job. It's a stepping stone for everyone.
Oh.
So all my friend who. Used to work in a portal, they all like manager in the bank. They were now like if I met them, they are become scientists in UQ.
Oh really?
And then work in like medical company, and they all scientists. And then it's full of impressive people.
It's when you look back, it was a low paying job or let's say a fast food job. But look at how it got you.
Yeah, and then everyone there was like. It's funny, like in front of Oporo, in front of us, in front of the shop is KFC.
Okay.
And then you can tell the difference of them. Well, not judging the people, but you can tell there is like some people that already worked there for like 15 years in KFC. But compared to our shop, like everyone have like degree, everyone have a master degree, and everyone like immigrants, but is educated immigrant.
Yeah.
They just, you know, everyone were back then working there because they don't have their permanent residence yet.
Yeah.
But once one by one we have our permanent resident, then we all have a good job and everyone have a better job. So it's, people might see it as a low-class job, but that's what bring someone to the next journey, I guess.
Yes. Oh, that's very, it's very nice.
If you see someone who worked low-class job as a barista.
Yeah, you never know.
You just that, never know. Yeah. Like, it's probably just one, you know, one phase of someone's life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's quite good insight for our listeners. You see someone in like those kinds of shops, yeah, but you never know in the after a few years, you yeah, know, yeah, that you might be reporting to that someone. You know, like you might be that could be your manager, like, you know.
Yeah,
like,
you never know, or it could be, you know, your boss one day, or yeah, that person could be probably your in-laws yeah, one day. You know, you just never know.
Yeah. At that time, was there already Uber here? Did you try being like
I don't think. It's probably good. Like, I was thinking, like, those Uber people, it's probably good. Like, they keep fit, but nah, it's probably too hard. You probably get like skin cancer or something
from the traveling.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, nah, it's not. No, yeah, that's not the risk that I'm willing to take.
I actually like wished as well when I was younger that my parents would have sent me like being made me much more independent, because I could have learned a lot by then. But it just shows that people who start early with maybe taking some jobs like yeah, you do could learn earlier and yeah, then could grow earlier in their journey as well.
Yeah.
And so you were in Oporto and then you graduated. After your student visa in uni, how long was it for you to get the permanent residency here?
I think around after uni, you get like one and a half year graduate visa.
Okay.
And then after that, either you get enough point to apply for a permanent residence visa, or you know, or you have to study again, or you have get a working sponsor. So that was the option. So back then, I have my graduate visa. Then I was working in an agriculture company.
Mm.
And then my graduate visa almost ran out. But I'm so grateful back then the company actually gave me a sponsor to stay. So I'm kind of like safe for a couple of years until I apply my own visa and I don't have to sell my soul for that company. No, but yeah, it's part of learning. I work with like amazing people.
Yeah.
That's I finished. Yeah. You know, I start, and then I was studying CPA back then as well in that company. So I learned a lot. So.
Oh, that's very interesting stuff. So let's move on to your a little bit more personal side of your relationship. So I know that you're currently in a relationship right now, if that's okay to ask.
Yes, I am in a relationship.
And how is it dating in general here in Australia?
Yes. It's dating in general. Compared to Indonesia. Yeah. It's different because I don't know with Philippines. In Indonesia, if we are dating, it's kind of like obvious, like they are dating you, like
court the girl, like ask,
yeah, yeah,
like can you be my girlfriend?
Yes they, like the guy would be obvious, ask would you be my girlfriend, like it's actually clear. But in Australia, yeah, it's kind of like you're probably dating for a year, there wasn't a line that, you know, we don't have an affirmation that okay, we are in relationship. So the relationship is kind of blur from just like acquaintance to friend to something serious. It's you don't know where to start.
Oh really?
So it's kind of like are we in a relationship? We like that. I think like compared to Indonesian and Australia.
Oh, it's quite informal. It's quite informal.
It just kind of like. Yeah, it's kind of informal start, and then it's kind of like grow like really slowly. Instead of like in Indonesia, you're actually aware that you are
being courted, like the guy is pursuing you.
Yeah, the guy is pursuing you, and then you kind of like make decision. Okay,
yes
I
or no.
I would like to try. Yeah, yeah. You know, I would like to try. Okay, well, I like you too, and you know, I would be your girlfriend. But here it's kind of like you seeing this guy, and then that guy still seeing other girl. you know, it,
you don't know.
You if, kind of like don't know, like, am I your girl? Yeah, are you pursuing me or are you pursuing her? Like, oh, it's okay. Very blur.
Interesting, because I have also a friend in my previous episode, she mentioned about that as well. So I thought that it's because they just met unconventionally. So they met on Tinder.
Mm-hmm.
And then also she mentioned that she wasn't sure if they were in a relationship. So it seems like it's the common denominator here.
It's like if I would say Asian culture, if you go and see a movie with a guy, you kind of already, you shouldn't go to really, you know, you shouldn't go to a movie with a girl if you're not in a relationship or you are actually, going that way.
Yeah.
But here it seems like, it just hang out.
And so like, they call it hang out, but it's actually kind of dating as well, right?
Yeah, it's kind of dating, but they don't want to admit it.
Oh.
You're dating.
Yeah.
Until someone else better come along.
Okay.
But no, that's the culture. Like, it's kind of like having a friend. It's like
it's really
having a friend of benefit, even though the benefit doesn't have to be sexual. Like, even though the benefit just like you have someone with to watching a movie or you have someone with to hang out.
Oh, interesting.
It's just that blurred line. And then you kind of like, that's why in Australia you can't fall for someone like really fast or soon, because it probably means nothing.
And so how long did you guys say like, okay, we are now in a relationship? How can you imagine, like, from the time that you like hang out and then to the time that okay, we decide that okay, we are already in a relationship?
I think if younger me I probably just 6 months.
Okay.
Then I kind of like, okay, what I'm actually doing this, you know? but with me and my current relationship, I think we're pretty clear from the beginning.
Okay, that's
so good. I met him online as well.
Oh.
And then I remember our first date, when you first date, and he kind of like, oh, how's your love life? Why you are in online dating? And then looking, I was like, I'm just like, I told him, dating is easy. You just have a nice meal, have a good time, and you know, haha, blah blah blah, and then you just do fun things. The next step is harder, like, you know.
Exactly.
The
maintaining it.
Maintaining it is harder. Yeah. Either someone is not right for you, you get bored, or if someone not growing with you, or if someone suffocated you, also.
Yeah.
It's bad for you. Like, so dating is easy because it's just the fun
short
part.
It's
only the fun part.
Yeah.
The fun part is always easy.
Yes, you exactly.
Know. You just, you know, someone woo you take you to a nice place, nice dinner. That's the easy part. Like, I have no problem with it.
What is the unique aspect about dating someone from a different country?
Depend on which country. Depend on which country. Like, even Australian is very broad. Like, depend on which Australian. City really? Australian really? Or, you know, countryside Australian. It's okay. Totally different. Like, same, like, city people or country people are still somewhat. More they're
traditional
still,
or?
Not traditional. They're more humble.
And then the people in the city are much more
confident. Or probably, like, it's so different. If, for example, they grew up in a small town, they move to the city, then they consider like from, you know,
from the country.
The country, yeah. Because they still like holding value. They have like, you know, they grown up with their family, but the one in the city, they
are much more liberated.
Liberated, individualist. They don't
like, they are unconventional in their views.
Yeah, it's about not like it's very different. Like, it's not family oriented anymore.
Okay, gotcha.
That's like I kind of like that, because it's similar like Asian, you know, Asian culture. We're very rooted with our family, the one that in the city, or you know, their parents are in Brisbane. It's kind of like they already lose that, you know, they don't
that tight knit.
Yeah, but it's back again. It's depend on
how,
you know,
they grew up.
Yeah, depend how family. They grew up. So it's not like
one size.
One size fit all. You know, just get to know the culture, get to know new people, get to know people character. Like, I date one German guy. He's very, yeah.
He was here as
he
well?
He was here. Oh. I would say, like, typical German guy. You know, very, you know, working-oriented. And then...
Was he, like, already here in Australia for a long time?
No, or? It's his... He came to Australia to work.
So okay. Yeah. So he's not really like permanently here for work. Okay.
Yeah, well, he permanently here for work, because of work.
Because of
work. So he moved here because of work. So that was actually a funny experience. I learned something about German guy. You know, German guy. I don't know whether it's right or true or not. Or what.
Yeah.
That's one
but
of my
that's
experience.
Your personal experience, yeah.
So we kind of like dating for a couple weeks. And then he have to go to America for 2 weeks. And then, so we kind of like, you know, still texting and then, you know, talking and go for dinner. And then he have to go to America for 2 weeks. And then he suddenly like, I didn't hear anything from him at all. Like, at all, you know. Just at all. So I was just like confused. Like, okay, did he ghosted me? Fine.
Yeah.
No, it's just like, well, if you're already like talking regularly, yeah, and then he just suddenly...
Maybe he died or something.
I don't know. Then he's back in 2 weeks. Okay. And then we met again and then I was just like, and then he's like act like nothing happened. And then like, let's go out, like, you know, go for dinner. I was like, like, I'm just confused, like, am I the weird one? Am I expecting something that I shouldn't expect? You know, I think I was expecting, you know,
because you're constantly communicating anyway, like,
yeah, and then you just say something, or yeah, I'm alive, or, you know, I'm here, you know, there is no, like, I hate texting. I'm okay for him not texting me all the time. But
at least inform that, okay,
you appreciate, yeah, you know, I'm okay, I'm, you know, I'm doing something, whatever, yeah, you know, once a day or something, or yeah, once every 2 days. And then I was just like, oh, cool, how's your trip? And then he was like, he tell me all about his trip within 10 minutes. I was like, but he can't be bothered to text me, like, once within that 2 weeks. I was just like, that's weird. But, it probably just not into me. So I don't know whether it's a German thing or he's just not into me. So
I hope we can hear some comments from our German listeners too. I actually have some listeners in Germany, but I don't know if they are German or Filipino. Maybe they are Filipino.
But I have one of my housemate. He's German and he's lovely. He's still, even though he's already moved out, he already back to German. I think first 2-3 years, he still send me a postcard.
Oh, really?
You know, that's like so different. So I don't know whether it's a typical German or probably... Oh. Yeah, that's why, like, just personality thing.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Well, anyway, housemate is really not... And he still, like, send me, like, birthday card and...
that's cute.
He come back in, like, 2 years just for holiday and then we meet up again. That's, like, so... That's why.
Yeah, person by person.
Yeah.
And so when you first... started dating like a different nationality, I don't know if it's just me, but I guess most of us Filipinos or maybe Asians, they are quite hesitant to date a different culture because of the maybe language barrier. Even though we speak English, it's still different when you...
Really?
Yeah. My husband, he's just my first boyfriend to be non-Filipino, because I'm too hesitant to date a different nationality because I feel that it's like I don't like the language barrier, the culture shock, and I have to adjust to the person. Like, it's too much work for me.
Do you still have the language barrier?
No, not really, but it's quite different too. If you say it in Filipino and in English, the thought is different, we have, I think even in your language, that you have a specific word for this specific thing, but in English, you have to put it into different words, and it will sound different or it will have a different feel to it. So I don't know if it's our, because Philippines was colonized, right?
Yeah.
So we are very like,
what's not scared? So like not what is it?
Not so. We feel that they're very distant. I don't know if it's just me, but I feel that it's just harder for me to approach those the Caucasian people.
Okay, so this is the I feel. Well, this is the this one thing that I feel. This is like 2020. Anyone out there shouldn't feel like that because you're a different culture.
Yes.
Because literally everyone are already like mushed up into like one society. Like, yeah. You know. So if anyone who live in a different country or and you feel you are outsider, I mean, there is no reason to feel that way anymore because, for example, Australia, everyone are immigrants. Yeah. Even my boyfriend is, so he's a Korean, but he born in Australia. So what is he? He's Australian, but he's actually not Australian.
Again, the blur line.
Yeah, it's a blur. It's, everything is already blur. So yeah. You should not feel that way. And then you should embrace it. Like you just global citizen. Like, you know, yeah. You should think like you are just a global citizen. You don't trying to fit with them. Like everyone should have to embrace with everyone. Like you don't feel like, oh, don't trying to fit in. No, it should be two-way. It should be two-way communication. It should be they also, you know, embrace it as well.
Yeah.
Like if there is no two-way interaction, yeah, there is, then don't bother.
Yeah, yeah. Well said, Steph.
You know, like
well
it's said. Like don't trying to fit in. Like yeah. Just be yourself.
Yeah. And I totally agree with you on that. That at that time I was like in my like younger years and I haven't really traveled a lot. So going outside the Philippines was very different for me. It's like really like a whole new world.
Yeah.
And then after traveling, I think it really opened my eyes and made me a little bit more not shy to approach people, but I'm naturally shy, so that's why I had the podcast.
Like especially like you live in Dubai, you live in Australia. Well, you're pretty much a global citizen.
Yeah,
you live in more countries than probably Australian. So you know, so don't feel you're a foreigner. You're just a global citizen.
Yeah, exactly. That's really good that for you, you already had that mindset when you were younger even, because me I only had like I was only open to this when I moved out. I think it's because you move out early, then that's why you had the broader view of things. So
it's if anyone just move out from their, you know, comfort zone or from their country or go to a new society, it takes time. Don't trying to fit in
right away.
Like I take well, your obviously time. I think I live here like for 13 years. Probably that's kind of like I'm from like probably I scared before. Now I kind of like I don't care anymore. If it's not comfortable, it's good. You're trying something new.
Yeah, exactly. Three things that our listeners should keep in mind when they maybe go out in the world. What should they prepare for?
Not everyone are nice people.
Very good.
So don't trying to, you know, some people when you're like, oh, I'm not fit in. Well, you don't have to fit into everything, you know, or just a new cool kid. That cool kid's probably not a good kid. Why you want to fit in?
Nice.
Like, you know what I mean? I think that's, and then just be yourself and don't think you're less than other people.
Mm.
Even though like you said, Caucasian are, because of our history, we think like we are less, you know, we are less or we are like below them or, you know, don't think like that. There's like so many Australian that never travel overseas. Not only Australian or
other
people that they probably never have friends that are Asian. So there are actually a lot of people that, you know, they're always friends with their own people. So it's not your fault. It's also, you know, other people also have to open their mind as well. There are some Korean in Australia who can't speak English because they always, you know,
talk to Koreans.
They always make friends with, you know, the same culture.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Chinese people that always speak Chinese and they can't speak English.
Yeah.
So just be yourself, and
by meeting other people, you will be broadening your horizon, broadening your knowledge.
Yeah, and then don't think like it's your fault or like there's something wrong with you. People will always like, oh, because I'm like Indonesian, or, you know, like people have like so many stereotypes of Indonesian.
You're the only one Indonesian I know, actually, so I don't know a lot about, I know Bali, but I haven't been, so, and I know that Australians always go to Bali, like.
Yeah, Australians go to Bali more than me. So, thinking in it. And then the first, you know, first person, every time, everyone, you know, oh, you're Indonesian, are you Muslim? Like, well, not all Indonesian are Muslim.
The stereotype.
Yeah, but it's like, they're very direct, like, you know, that's a stereotype.
I think, I've had a lot of that stereotype questions even before, like even in Dubai. And here, oh, funny thing here, so when I arrived here 2019, unfortunately, I was so scared that I wouldn't get a job. So my first day here, I already have an interview with an agent. And what the agent told me was, oh, you speak good English. Like, I mean, like, what?
What?
Like, it's like, to you, it might be like, they didn't really intend to say like what they said, but it's like, so that thinking that Filipinos or maybe Asians are not really good at speaking English or they can speak English,
and we have to get used to that, like, you know, it's not their fault as well.
I know. Exactly,
it's not their fault as well. Back again, you know, listeners out there.
Yeah, exactly. I very much agree with you on that, because other people or other Asians are too easily offended. You kind of understand as well the other end.
Yeah.
And maybe they haven't met maybe a lot of people from my country yet who can speak okay English. So
I don't even say my English is great. Like, I talk a lot, but it doesn't mean my English is pretty bad. But then it's kind of like, well, people not value just for one thing, it's for like everything, like, you know, depend what you do. You probably bad at math, but you're very confident and very literal, you know, very literal. So back again, it's not your fault if people can't see you for who you are.
Yeah, very well said, Steph. I totally agree.
So don't feel less of yourself and just be you. You do you.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you so much, Steph, for your time today. I have learned a lot, and our listeners have learned a lot as well, for sure. Your experiences really have given us a lot of insight on, for us Asians who like move out of the country, and how we interact with other people, and your pieces of advice were really, really on point.
Just don't think of you as a less of anyone else.
Yeah. Thank you, Steph.
That's okay. Thank you for having me.
And do you want to share social media handles or?
No, I'm just a small potato living in Brisbane.